shotgun formation again. Now the blitz coming. Here's a pass. Over the little caught by Mike Williams. The 50, 45 to the 40. Mike Williams to the 30. Mike Williams in the phone race to the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Williams with another touchdown.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams.
How about that? My goodness.
On the home of the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And we come in here on a Monday night with number 19 after a win, a dramatic, a crazy 27-21 victory over the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. It's great to see you. I'm a little less than 100% on the voice, so we're going to need more of Mike tonight. But, you know, when called upon, you come through in the clutch. You call it showtime. So it's showtime now for the next hour.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
For Mike Williams. Okay, well, you're in your third year. There have been some crazy Buccaneer games, including some overtime games and, you know, a wild one your rookie year at Cincinnati where we were down by 10 with about 2 minutes left and you guys won without even needing overtime. That's about as crazy as it gets, does it not, at the end of a game in regulation?
Yeah, that's exactly how crazy it gets. I mean, that's something you dream of, like situations like that, and you down and come back and win them. I mean, I'm glad it happened. I'm glad we had a game like that we pulled off.
When you catch the game-winning or touchdown pass, Dallas Clark catches it in overtime. And by the way, that's the first time the Buccaneers ever have won a game because usually you can win a game with a field goal. The new rules now, you might want to score a touchdown. It's the first time the Bucs in their history have ever won an overtime game with a touchdown. So you guys were all part of history. When that moment happens, as fans have been seeing it now for the last 24 hours, what's it like as a player?
I don't know. Like when Dallas scored, I turned into a fan. It was like I was so happy to see him score a touchdown. He was so happy. It was like a relief. We got the win. It felt good.
You know, sweeping those guys, getting the job done, it's got to be a great feeling. By the way, Buccaneer fans, we are going to talk about the matchup with the Atlanta Falcons, and that will be Sunday at 1 o'clock. I know Mike and the guys getting ready for this matchup upcoming with Atlanta, the first of two meetings. And there is a ticket update. There's approximately 11,000 of the non-premium tickets left to sell out the game Sunday, still about 7,400 short of reaching the 85% needed to lift the blackout. So we encourage the fans to get there, get their tickets, go to Buccaneers.com, go to Ticketmaster, wherever you have to go, get your tickets and be there on Sunday for that matchup. It was interesting yesterday. There were a lot of Buccaneer fans in Carolina. Did you get a chance before, during, after the game to look around and see some of the Buccaneer fans that were around?
Actually, all three. Before, during, and after, I got a chance to talk to some of the fans, give them high fives, sign some autographs. It felt good to see like a lot of fans that travel with us.
And some of them were in the area, and some of them made the drive even from here. We heard fans talking about that, so we've now seen that whether in Minnesota or in Oakland or in Carolina, and winning also helps that too. And this, you know, I've just got done talking with the head coach about this. I'd love to have your answer. This team has now won four games in a row that could have gone either way. Where earlier in the year, the game maybe slipped away a couple of different times. The last 4 weeks, you guys have found the way in the fourth quarter or yesterday with an overtime to win the game. What are the differences? Why? Why is that happening now?
I really can't tell you a difference. I mean, like you said, we was in them early games too. We just finding a way to come on top now. Like that was our, when we was 1-3, that's what the coach came and told us, that we was in every game and that we just falling short by 3, by 6, by 2. Like he was telling us we was in every game and we got the bye week, and he told us all we got to do is try to finish off them close game, and that's what we've been doing.
All right, we will take your phone calls as well. And again, you are welcome to dial us at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free number there to join us. You can also tweet me a question as we go at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, there on Twitter. Back to the whole confidence level of this team. Yesterday, I was saying this earlier, that on that final drive with a minute left, knowing that you needed a touchdown and a two-point conversion, on the field, you know, just from me looking, you guys had the look of confidence, the look of belief. Tell me about the huddle on the final drive that ends up with the touchdown and the two-point play. What was it like? Was it animated? Was it calm? Was it business as usual? What was it like?
Well, every day after practice, Shiano pulls us to the side, and he goes – well, not after practice, like right before practice then. He goes either two-minute drill or four-minute drill, and he huddles up on the sideline like it's a live situation, and he tell us like, you got 2 minutes left. You need a touchdown and a two-point conversion to win this game. And no timeouts. He'd do that situation. And it was like, it was just like us being in practice. We went out there and he huddled on the sideline and he told us we got a minute and something left. We need to go down and get a touchdown and 2-point conversion. And we went down and did it.
Was there anything in particular that was being said when the Panthers took timeout right before the 2-point play? Was there anything else that had to be emphasized, or is it just call the play, get up there and run the play?
Actually, we've been practicing the play all week. That exact play all week. If they bite on Vincent, I was going to come underneath, and I was the second option on that play. But they bit for the run, and Vincent was wide open, and Josh found him.
But, I mean, there wasn't anything dramatic. That's a dramatic moment. That's the game at that moment. A lot of that's overrated.
It wasn't nothing dramatic. We've been practicing that same play all week. We knew if we get in a 2-point situation, that's the play we was going to run. And it turned out to be a good call.
And then in the overtime, you win the toss. We get a nod to Andrew Economos calling tails, got the coin toss, the long snapper, and then you guys get the ball. Again, what was the talk in the huddle? Because there's different things that could happen. If you got a field goal, they're going to get the ball. If you get a touchdown, the game is over. Was the talk, let's go get a touchdown and end this?
Oh, yeah. It'd be crazy. It sounds like I'm making up something, but it's when we go in practice. We'd go against our own defense, and he'd be like, field goal ties a touchdown win. And we go out in the huddle in practice and we say, let's win this game. We like, let's get it over with right now. And that's exactly what we did. We went out there and said, we want a touchdown, not three.
And you ended up getting that touchdown, obviously, there at the end of things. And it had to be, obviously, in that moment, euphoric for this Buccaneer football team to come from behind by 11 points with 4 minutes left, get the thing tied, and then win the thing in overtime with the touchdown. Confidence level of this team right now, where would you gauge the confidence level of this football team, especially facing adversity as you guys have now a couple of times in the fourth quarter and found a way? How confident is this team, I guess?
I say we're pretty confident, but we're still looking at things as one-game seasons. We got Atlanta coming in here, and that's our one-game season. We going to be 1-0, or are we going to go out there and try to be 1-0 after our one-game season? We're still looking at things like that because that seemed to be helping us one game at a time and let everything else sort itself out.
All right, again, the voice of Mike Williams. It is Buccaneers Total Access. We will take your phone calls. You can also tweet us questions and comments if you have those as we go along here. Actually, I have a couple right now on Twitter before we go to the phones. Let's see. Corey wants to know, did you get the steak last week, and what do you think your chances are this week? And again, we need to explain what the steak is that's there in the locker room. You left it kind of up in the air last Monday night about the steak and whether or not you were going to get it from last week.
Oh, yeah, I got it last week.
Is the steak for? Explain what it's for.
The steak is for basically the receiver of the week, of the game, who he thought played the best in that game. And this week, I didn't even take it to the meetings. Usually we take it to the meetings and it's up in the air. I just put it in Vincent's locker. So I gave it.
There was no debate.
It was no debate. Like
after that kind of catch.
If somebody judged a different receiver to have the player of the week that game, they got to be like Pacquiao judges.
Oh, I got you. On the bad boxing judges. Now, yeah. Is a tight end eligible for the stake, or is it only the receivers?
Only
the Dallas
receivers.
Clark might have wanted a part of that stake with the game-winning overtime touchdown catch, but this is only the receivers.
Yeah, he'd have been second for that vote if the tight ends. But I think it still go to Vincent for that catch and then the 2-point conversion to even get us in that situation. So,
all right. So we got the lowdown, and so this is the big. It's not a real stake because people have asked me that too.
Yeah, it's not a real stake. It's a big fake wooden steak.
Like a big brontosaurus Fred Flintstone steak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the best way to describe it. And it goes into the locker of the guy that does the best. You've had a chance now to see the Vincent Jackson touchdown catch on TV, on the TV feed, and on the game feed. What about that catch?
That was an amazing catch. I mean, that's the word I got to use, amazing. I think the throw was even better. For him to get hit and put that ball in the exact spot he wanted, it was crazy, but it was an amazing catch.
And he's having to fight Keekly, the linebacker of Carolina, for the ball. People didn't realize it's not only trying to see Josh, see the ball. You got Keekly coming over, Keekly trying to hit you, Keekly trying to take the ball away, and you're trying to get your feet down. That's not an ordinary play, right?
Yeah, that's something only Pro Bowlers make, man. And he definitely worth it.
All right, the voice of Mike Williams here with us tonight. We're going to pause. Again, we will take your phone calls here tonight, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. More with Mike coming up. We'll also talk Atlanta Falcons, too. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we're back with number 19, Mike Williams, here on Buccaneers Total Access on this Monday night. As we get ready for the Bucs and the Falcons, we'll talk more about that. We've got to talk Thanksgiving with you because there have been several people that have mentioned to me about you and your Thanksgiving cooking stories from last year when we talked to you. So we're going to have to revisit that, I think, here in a little bit with Thanksgiving coming up later on in the week, number 19. So stand by for that. When some Buck fans want to say hello, again, you can join us on the phones. You can tweet me a question as well at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy. There on Twitter, here is Brian in Tampa on the phones. You are first up here with Mike Williams tonight. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good, man. Great to get to talk to you, Mike.
Same here.
First, just want to say congratulations on that win yesterday, man. It was a good day to be a Buccaneer fan, so I'm sure it was a great day to be a Buccaneer player as well.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I just want to ask you a quick question. I think everybody in Tampa loves the family atmosphere that Coach Young has brought to the team, and it's just a lot of fun watching you guys out there play together, and you can really tell by just the way you guys carry yourselves and the way you celebrate, especially in a situation like that, that this team really cares about each other. And, you know, I can see the wristbands that Coach Yano's got some of you guys wearing and the whole family acronym that he uses.
He's got it on right now, by the way, Brian. He's got it on right now. Keep going.
There you go, man. I love him. I love him. Mine are in the mail. Just wanted to ask you, you know, what kind of atmosphere is it with Coach Yano there, and how close are you guys, and how is it different than, you know, some of the other locker rooms you've been a part of?
Well, I think, like, you summed it all up. Like, I think he kind of makes it a family atmosphere. Like, he said himself, like, if we say each other family and we really believe that we family, and actually he say family stand for forget about me, I love you. And that's just – them words right there is just what describes our team now. It's like we want to forget about all the individual stats, and if we play for each other, we feel we can get more wins that way.
All right, Brian, thanks for the phone call on that. And, you know, Gerald McCoy was telling us about this, that when you're injured and you can't play, it's like watching your family in a fight – but you're strapped down to a gurney or a chair and you can't help your family in a fight. It was just interesting about the family part of it that you, you know, you look at it as that's my dad, that's my mom, that's my sister, that's my brother when you're looking around in the huddle or looking out there at the defense or whatever, backing your guys up, right?
I kind of disagree with Gerald on that one.
What would you say then?
If you hurt, I kind of think of it as you being a boxer trainer. Your fighter out there fighting, you still get to go tell him what to do, how to do it. You get to say, like, what mistakes he made. You get to watch and help out that way. So I kind of look at it as a boxing trainer.
Interesting. I like that. Mm-hmm. All right, back to the phones. Here is Todd in Tarpon Springs here with Mike Williams on Total Access. Hey, Todd.
Hey, TJ. How you doing? Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Todd?
Great, man. I got to tell you, what a breath of fresh air, guys. You guys are unbelievable this year as far as playing the way you guys are playing together. What a difference from last year. Makes us feel proud to wear our Bucs jerseys again.
Excellent. Got a question?
question for you. You said that the team was really pulling together as far as a team. Is that it? You know, yesterday in the game against Carolina, that one of the linemen pinned down Josh Freeman and was holding him down during one of the plays, and Meredith came over there and pushed that guy off of Josh. I mean, are you guys all feeling like you're there to back each other up more this year than last year?
I think that we still there for each other as much as last year. We still care about each other as more. It's just we're getting to see it more. A lot more people is bonding together. A lot more people are starting to talk more. And I don't think that was a penalty still, but I'm not a ref. That was him going to help his brother out.
And it was actually Ted Larson that was going ultimately to defend. I mean, first it was Jamon trying to get him off, and then he kind of rolled back on Josh and stood up, and it was Ted Larson that came over. And one thing we know about offensive linemen, do not mess with the quarterback, especially messing with the quarterback after a play or something else. They're going to defend their guy. I mean, that's around the NFL. That's going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. It's any team. Any team in that situation – they would all got that penalty right there. Any offensive lineman, because that's just another job for the offensive lineman.
All right, again, you can join us on the phone. Several of you are asking questions on Twitter. Let's see. This one from Aaron says, Mike, how important is it to have the 12th man at home as a player? How does it impact you on offense to have those fans there? Now, the first thing is you want them to be a little quieter on offense so you can hear, but what's it like to have that home crowd?
It's very important to me. To have that home crowd, it's like it kind of scares away the opponent a little bit. They try to keep their calm, but to have that home crowd there sold out, screaming on every play, silence when we get the ball, it's like it's nothing else. If your crowd sold out, it's guaranteeing you 7 points. I would say.
Well, and it should be. I mean, it should be a 3 or 7 point advantage.
Yeah, that's how I always think of a sold out crowd.
Well, and you guys have gone on the road now and won 3 of the last 4, and we'll obviously get to the Falcon game coming up in a little bit. But you've been able to silence the road crowd too. Is that just? I asked you this earlier in the year when you made that catch against the Giants about having a crowd go completely silent. When a play like Vincent Jackson's play or Dallas Clark's play happens and the crowd goes completely silent, that's pretty cool too on the road, right?
Oh yeah, it felt good because during the whole pregame, me and Vincent Jackson like playing around, playing catch, and he's screaming in the crowd and he's saying, "Y'all gonna be quiet the whole night." And it was crazy that one of his plays was the one that made him quiet.
All right, this is fun on Twitter. I'm going to show you this. Daniel has tweeted me. Presumably he didn't do this while going 70 miles an hour on the interstate. But Daniel, I think maybe listening to us, I'm not sure, but he was at the game in Charlotte yesterday, and you gave him one of your gloves after the game when you were leaving the field, and he has tweeted a picture, and I have retweeted this, if you follow me at Buck Sideline Guy, mm-hmm. He has sent us a picture of the glove that you gave him. He says, "I'm not back home yet, but here's the glove." So you gave back to a Buck fan in Charlotte who wants to say thank you. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Always. I give my gloves away every game to a Bucks fan. Every single game, I give my gloves away.
You know, that's pretty cool, though, that a Buck fan who drove up to Charlotte ends up getting one, and he's just calling back or just sending us a tweet back to say thanks. JT sends me a tweet and says, "What's the biggest challenge that the Falcons secondary will present to you guys? What do you think that is?" Again, you're familiar with them.
I think that they work as a group. They communicate very well back there, and now they got Samuels back there with them. It's looking like a better group back there. I just like the way they communicate. Like our defense, I like how our defense can get one call off the field all the way to the other car of the field right during the play. I think the Falcons is very close to that.
You know, you have had some big plays against Atlanta. Obviously, their secondary has also had some big plays against this team. Do you look at this as kind of an us against them that could be a real deciding force in the game Sunday? If we are better than their secondary, that may be one of the big keys to winning?
Yeah, I think one of the big keys to winning is for us as a receiver group to play well. But I think if we just do what we've been doing and just go and play as a team and whatever play call, go as the game plan and see what happens at the end. But going against the Falcons is like going against Carolina or going against New Orleans. It's a division game. We know it's going to be tough, and they know it's going to be tough. We just going to go out there and fight.
I'm laughing and smiling, and I'm also concerned. Daniel, who tweets back, says, "I am listening. Thanks for the shout-out. You better be slowing down or at least be in the right lane on the interstate if you're driving back and you're tweeting while you're driving."
So. Oh, yeah. No tweeting while you're driving. Hopefully you pull it over
yes,
right now.
I hope so as well. Again, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620 and toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 for you to join us. And you can also tweet me a question at Buck Sideline Guy. You know, as part of the comeback yesterday, there was a big fourth down play right before the Connor Barth field goal with about 4 minutes left where the ball came to you on a fourth down play. Just from what you remember on that, because there were a lot of big plays in and around there, but at that moment, if you guys don't get the first down, it's 21-10. It is likely game over. They're going to be able to run the clock out, but you kind of slanted to the inside, I think. Maybe it was a double move, but just pick it up on the play on fourth down.
Actually, the play before, Josh came to me too on third down, and I didn't tuck the ball quick enough, and I let the defender knock it out of my hands. So I ran back to the huddle real quick. If you look at the play, I ran back real quick, and I told him to come right back to me. And he came right back to me. I basically was guaranteed I was going to catch the ball. I told him to come right back to me on there. So it was fourth down. I wanted the ball. I wanted to get the first down there.
Yeah, because the team was not in field goal range there at that moment. Needed that catch, that 3 points. You know, there's nothing insignificant in a comeback like what happened yesterday. That 3 points turns out to be huge at the end of the football game, obviously.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Before the drive, we huddled up, and Shiano jumps in his huddle, and he goes, we need 3 or 8 here. Either one, we're going to get it. We're going to get 3. We're going to get a stop, and we're going to go down and get 8. And he never give a breakdown or nothing. He'd give his speech and run out the huddle. Like even in the locker room, he'd give a big speech and just run out the huddle. But that's what he said, and ran out the huddle, and we went out there and got 3.
Got 3, and then eventually got 8, and got 6 more there in the overtime. Again, you can join us here on the phones, and you can also join us via Twitter. A lot of you still tweeting in questions. Let me see if there's a couple of them I can put on the radio. I'll clean up the one from Vianney. Vianney says, you boys are making all kinds of awesome catches. You're holding clinics on clutch catches. So thank you, Vianney, for the comment. I'll phrase it in a question. When it is fourth down, are you extra mindful of know where the sticks are, you know, get in front of that defender so he can't get a hand on it like you're talking about? I know you're mindful, but are you extra mindful in the clutch?
Oh, yeah, you got to be. You got to – ball security. Ball security is a must. You're supposed to be on all plays, but on fourth down when it's a got-to-have-it situation, you got to – worry about catching the ball, if it's hitting your fingers the right way. Actually, I knew the defender was on my back, so I jumped so I can get him to not hit the ball, hit my back, and it worked.
By the way, a tweet here from a guy named Taekwon in Tampa who says, being a Rutgers football player and alum, he says, I can tell you that number 19 I never lost to in my 4 years. So Taekwon Underwood is listening and wants to let you know. He's just reminding you of that for whatever reason. He just wanted you to know that.
He always reminded me, but I hope he listened to me because my stats was always better than his.
Oh, listen to that. Okay. But that's all you got to go on, right?
Yeah, you're right. They got the wins, and that's what's important.
Taekwon made a huge catch in the overtime and took shot, and it was an illegal shot from Thomas Davis. And again, it was actually a catch right at the end of regulation to help start that drive off. And luckily he appears to be fine and appears to be okay after the game and whatever, but that's part of the position you play, right? Where you're going to have to go over the middle and sometimes sacrifice your body trying to catch the ball, right?
Yeah, that was actually a huge catch. It got the drive going. I don't know how he held on to it. He about 92 pounds soaking wet.
Here we go.
But, that was a huge catch right there. That was one of the big plays of the game.
Taekwon, by the way, he's not here to defend himself, has got that high fade really working now. I noticed that this weekend. I noticed it when he was taking his helmet off, We've joked about your beard earlier, but I mean, Taekwon's got like a good 6-8 inches of hair now going straight up on the top of his head. What about the high fade? Any commentary since he's listening?
I think it's cool. I think he's setting the trend. He's still mad at Madden that they didn't haven't updated his hair on Madden yet. But I think it's cool. He be having a little edge ups in his hair and stuff now. So he come with a couple of designs, but it's sweet to me.
All right. So, but you would never do the high fade?
Oh, never.
You've never done the high fade?
Never, ever. Never.
All right. So he's only done the trend to a certain extent. And he told us here on the Total Access Show that it originally was a bet, and he's already won the bet that he wouldn't grow it. So I guess he's just continuing on. He likes it.
Oh, yeah. He likes it. I guess he got some special lady in his life that likes it.
Maybe.
Yeah. So
that's not for Buccaneers Total Access, though. But, you know, we'll just put that out there. 990-4620 if you want to join us in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. You never know who's listening. Taekwon Underwood is here tonight. We'll have more with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access coming up. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And the Buccaneers getting set to take on the Atlanta Falcons Sunday at 1. As we were mentioning earlier in the show, if you're just joining us on a Buccaneer ticket update, there are approximately 11,000 of the non-premium tickets left to sell out for this Sunday's game, and still about 7,400 short of reaching the 85% needed to lift the blackout. Again, get to Buccaneers.com, Ticketmaster, wherever you normally go, and get those tickets for Sunday. And the number one team in the NFC coming in, the 9-1 Atlanta Falcons, and arguably the hottest team in the NFC with a four-game win streak, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting ready to play them. You know, you never need a reason to get up for a division rival. You obviously get up for every game you play. Division rivals maybe have more significance. But now, I mean, this game for late November has a lot of significance, to say the least, with a four-game win streak and with them having a 9-1 record, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, it goes back to the thing as division game. We need this win. We need to pick up a division win and get on the bad side of them guys, I like to say.
All right, so get under their skin a little bit. I like that. Well, and that's what the challenge will be on Sunday. Again, you can dial us up on the phones. You can tweet me a question as well at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy. Here is John in Crystal Beach. You are on with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, John.
Hi, how you doing? Congratulations on the win yesterday. It was a very, very exciting game.
Thanks a lot.
I had a big watch party going on in my house, and everyone was real excited. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, John.
This question's probably more appropriate, last hour with Coach Chiano on, but I was driving in the car and had a couple stops to make, so it was kind of useless to try and call then. We were all kind of going crazy through the beginning and middle parts of the game when there really was no running game established, and it's pretty much, football 101 that, your passing game's really not going to work out for you unless you establish the running game first, and that seemed to have really never happened until a little bit later on in the game towards the end. And it's not just that we're all big, Doug Martin fans, and we want to see him take the ball and run it, 12 yards every carry. We're really impressed with what you guys do, too, but I know it wasn't, Josh Freeman's fault, but it seems like his success has always been a lot better when guys like Doug are really doing well and they get a lot of carries and whatnot. And it seems like there was never a running game established at all yesterday, and Freeman seemed to pay the price for that.
All right. What's your
I think
my question is, I probably should have asked this to Coach Chiano last hour, but did he share anything with you guys about what the strategy was and why he wanted to kind of change it up from what we've seen in the last few weeks?
All right, and I'll give you that explanation, John. Thanks. So what the coach was saying in the last hour is that Carolina early on in the game played a lot of 8-man front, one safety in the middle of the field, daring you guys to throw the ball, saying we are going to take away the run between the tackles here with 8 guys in the middle, and we want you to prove that you can throw the ball against us. And his explanation for John and for everybody else that didn't hear it was, we took some of those chances and some of those shots, and it did begin to loosen up the defense some, and then we were able to effectively run in other instances. So, Mike, to you on this, number one, you're not the play caller, but number two, defense and offense is punch, counterpunch. Show them something, they're showing you something. Just pick up in general terms on that point.
Yeah, you're going to kind of get a play call where the defensive coordinator is called the right play. He's called the right play. It's a chess match, and sometimes they'll get a win, and Josh will have to throw it away or something like that. But I think with any team that can pass the ball to have a run game, I think we'll be successful. With Doug running like that, it always helps us out as receivers. And then if we pass good, it helps him out as a running back too. So I think either way, the situation go either way. But the way he running, I'll run the ball first too.
Well, and a lot of people, will take these stats and look at them and say, boy, you didn't have a lot of success with throwing the ball in the first half, but suddenly you had success in the second half. And some of that may be because you were trying to establish the run or the defensive looks. And then in the second half, you've got the run established. The play action works better. And suddenly you're open. Those things all go together, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Some plays where we got the shot caught and they bail.
What do you mean?
I got a shot play call, a play that's over 20 yards. We got the play call, the right play call, and then the corners bail off or something like that. Or we thought they was going to be in press coverage, and then they turn out to be in cover two or something like that. So, it's a chess match. We never know what's going to happen. We just go out there and try to play, adjust when it happens.
Again, we go back to the phones. Here is Rich in Bradenton. You are next with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you, man. Great game yesterday. I got a comment and a question. My comment, getting back to a little comment you talked about, Taekwon, that's called the kid and play. It was old school. I don't know if you're too young to know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Kid and play after a touchdown. But getting to my question was, there was a point in the fourth quarter, which I believe was the last drive, the camera panned over to Freeman, and you saw him as he was sidestepping and running out to the field, and he gave a thumbs up and smiled, which was a different thing that we've been watching the whole game. And at that one point, it just clicked, and I told everybody, I was like, this is it. He's on. He's got this. Was there a point, can you give us an inside scoop, was there a point where he said, boom, it's on, let's do this, and you knew he was back? You know, he was a little off, but was there something that just clicked and you said, okay, let's do this, boom, it's on?
I think Freeman is a good quarterback, but I think in the fourth quarter he turns into a great quarterback, and I've been saying that since I got here. If we down and we got have any doubt, we put the ball in Freeman's hand, we believe we can win the game, man. I think he's a great fourth quarter quarterback to me, and that puts him above a lot of quarterbacks to me.
He has now had 8, I believe it is, fourth quarter or overtime wins, and obviously he seems to lock in even more when those situations are on the line. And, some of those throws, again, are lasers to certain spots or whatever. I know, again, on the Vincent Jackson play, it's a great catch, but that ball is a bullet, Mike, on that touchdown from number 5 with a defender about to kill him there on the 5-step drop, right?
Oh yeah, like you said, man. I think that's going to be the – you can mark my words for this one. I think that's going to be the best throw this year out of every quarterback in the NFL. I don't think somebody can make a throw like that. He got hit. He put it in the exact spot he wanted to put it in.
And there may have been, and you may have seen this on the tape, was there a defender's helmet that it had to zing over? Because I think there was a defender. It may have been Keekly or the safety, where the ball is literally like about a foot or two over his head or helmet going to the spot, right?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know who it was, but it's like right there. Like he put it – there's no way to throw that ball. He throw it a little bit to the left, is knocked down, a little bit to the right.
Exactly. Maybe it's maybe picked off.
Yeah, maybe picked off, and then if you throw it a little lower, it hits the helmet. So it's – he threw it in the perfect spot, and Vincent made a great catch.
A guy has tweeted me and wants me to ask you that on that. Michael tweets me and says, on the touchdown, it looked like – he's talking about this play, the Vincent Jackson touchdown. It looked like you may have been wide open. Were you, or was your defender peeling off to Vincent? Were you also open, if need be, on that play, or do you remember on the tape?
I'm not very sure about it, but I think I was. But it went to Vincent. It went to the right.
Well, man. And as Michael points out, and this is a good point, while we're being serious here, sometimes on TV it might look like you're more open than you actually were, because at the point in time in which the quarterback is being flushed or looking the other way, your defender kind of leaves you to go where the ball is going. So sometimes TV can be misleading, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's a lot of them situations, because defenders start to all swarm to the ball. So they see him throwing one way, they start to run the other way, and then it looked like he was open. So it could have happened, but I think I could have got that one too.
All right, again, back to the phones. Here is Chris in St. Pete with Mike Williams here tonight on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Chris.
Hey, TJ. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Hey, Chris.
Mike, I got to tell you, as a 36-year Buck fan, I'm 46, and I started going to games with my dad when I was 10. So I pretty much bleed Buccaneer. You guys are really, really putting a smile on my face. I mean, this is not just football to me. This has been my life since I was 10. So I really appreciate the way you guys are coming out. And I wanted to comment on and then ask you a question. As far as the comment on Shiano's philosophy, the one season at a time or the one game at a time, I don't know about you all, but it seems to be working and helping. But that's not only true in your game, but it's in life too, because – if I start to look at the past or look a week ahead or 2 weeks ahead, or it messes my day up. All I can look at is the current day in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I love that philosophy. I don't know how much or how serious you guys are taking it, but it's a one-game season. It's like all or nothing. This game, all or nothing. And if you take each one individually, it really makes a difference. So I like that philosophy. As far as my question goes, what do you notice that's different, Mike, about the conditioning? Because, I watch you guys very closely, and this year you guys, down to the last second, look like you're on Red Bull. I mean, you guys – now, I think that's what happened yesterday. In my observation, they pretty much – Carolina, they looked – gas in the last 5 or 6 minutes, and you guys were still fresh as a daisy. And I want to hang out and listen. What's happening, Mike? What do you see differently that Coach Shiano is doing? Because you guys are in tip top shape, and I hope you keep it up. Thanks.
Well, I think the difference from last year to this year is the lockout. I think us having that time to work together and them making us run, and I literally mean making us, but making us run with each other and sprint and seeing each other throw up and all that type of stuff. But it was the for us to get in that type of shape before camp and then go through camp and stay in that type of shape is, I think that's the big difference from last year.
It's now over with. You don't play the Panthers the rest of the year. Could you tell, did it look like they were fatigued at the end of regulation and especially in the overtime, because you got a couple of big runs on them with Doug to start the overtime? Could you look across the way and see some body language, some hands on the hips?
Oh, yeah. It seemed like when we get in the fourth quarter with a lot of teams like that, it seemed like that. But I can't really say how the defensive line or the linebackers was, but it kind of seemed that way with the corners.
And you guys obviously made a ton of plays when you had to make those plays. A couple of more people weighing in on Twitter. Another guy that is driving back that is listening to us, and hopefully, again, you're pulling over if you're tweeting us while you're driving back. Buck fans from Carolina, he says, impressed with this team's discipline. From the head coach and the way that that you guys are able to go out there. Just pick up again on that point, not just conditioning, but playing sound, fundamental, disciplined football with your assignments and not making mistakes. That's another big reason that you keep pulling these games out, right?
Yeah, I think, like I've been saying, Shiano is the most prepared coach I've ever seen. So he's getting us prepared for every situation. And like with that ball security, like with penalty situations, for us staying out of penalties, for us walking away from things, he put us in all those situations and seemed to come up in the game, and we seemed to be adjusting for that.
Another tweeter, this one under the name Miko Zuna, if I have it right, he says, who got the steak this week? We established already that you ran and gave the steak to Vincent Jackson. The fun steak. He says, you guys are making us all proud, making others take notice. What does it mean to you that the Buck fans right now, who went through a tough season right there with you, are now sticking their chest out and obviously having a lot of fun watching Buccaneer football? What does it mean to you players to hear fans and their excitement and their enthusiasm right now about this team, Mike?
Oh, it's very exciting to see fans. Like I've been telling people, we got to win. We can't complain about having not a lot of fans and we not winning. And now that we're winning, they're starting to come out. They're starting to speak up, show up to road games, and that's the fun part about this game.
Matthew also asks on Twitter, while we have a moment, what kind of influence have Vincent Jackson and Dallas Clark been to the young offensive players and to yourself? You've answered this before, but it's worth bringing up again here. What do those veterans mean in the room and on the practice field?
I think they helped the whole team, and that's why Vincent Jackson, the captain, they seen from the day he got in here that he was willing to do whatever it took to win, no matter what stats, catches, nothing. Nothing to help him. He just wanted to win out here. So I think, and with Dallas Clark too, having them guys in the huddle, and when situations come up when it's tough, and having them guys right behind your side telling you it's all right and to go on to the next play, it helps a lot.
How many times when you were growing up, high school, college, did you watch a Colts game and watch Peyton Manning throw the ball to Dallas Clark in a key situation or a touchdown, and there you were on the field as it was happening in overtime? That's kind of wild how the NFL works out, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. I kid with Dallas and tell him he my grandpa. I watched him when I was a little boy, it seemed like, man. But it's crazy to have him on our team.
You seriously say grandpa?
Yeah, grandpa.
Does he laugh?
Yeah, he laugh all the time. He joke with me, too. So,
are we allowed to repeat what he calls you?
I'm not telling. He got to get on his show to tell you.
I see. All right. So we get Dallas on, we can find out what he calls you.
Yep.
Okay. I know Rondé says they call him Uncle or Unc.
Yeah, they call him Uncle.
Or Unc.
But I call Dallas Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. Something else you learn on Total Access. All right. We will pause. We will come back. We will talk Atlanta Falcons. Stay with us for that, as they're the opponent coming up on Sunday. We will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Total Access. Our remaining moments with number 19, Mike Williams. We'll talk Atlanta Falcons in just a second. I kid you not. Do you see this right here? Graham tweets me in and says, hey, I'm in Argentina. How do I hear the show? How about that?
Yeah,
Buccaneer
crazy.
Fan in South America. And you can hear us anywhere, anytime. You can go one of two places. Our flagship station, 620WDAE.com. You can also hear the show's podcast there on 620WDAE.com, and also on Buccaneers.com you can hear the show's podcast as well. So replays of the show there are available, commercial-free, so you can check it out. How about that, Buck fans?
Yeah, that's
everywhere.
Crazy. Everywhere.
Well, they're into it. They are obviously into it. I will tell you this. The guy that runs the Bucs UK fan club, Paul Stewart, we give him a lot of love and a lot of praise. We played in England two of the last 3 years. He started a Buccaneer football fan club, an American football fan club in England back 30 years ago. That fan club now has over 300 members. They regularly get together by the dozens and dozens and dozens and watch Buccaneer games over in the UK. Mm-hmm. And Paul Stewart put a post out today that, with the exception of the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl in 2002, that is the greatest Buccaneer finish and game he's ever watched. And a lot of his guys in the UK agree with the excitement that you guys created there yesterday. That's high praise right there. Now, that guy's been a Buccaneer fan for 30 years.
Yeah, that is
pulling
very
that
high
one out.
Praise. Yeah, that's. I'm glad to be a part of it.
It was certainly one that we will remember for a long time, and I have a feeling that the Carolina Panthers and their fans will remember it for a long time, too, to be down 11 with 4 minutes left and win the game in overtime. All right, back to the phones. Here is Mike in Safety Harbor. You are up with Mike Williams. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how we doing, guys? Mike, good to talk to you again. I talked to you last week, man, about how you did really great in all these games. And all I can say is I know in this game against the Panthers, I know you were kind of quiet, though, but, I mean, I was definitely seeing on the last drive with, like, less than a minute, no timeouts, I see you making key catches, Vincent Jackson making key catches, Tyquan Underwood making key catches. I'm telling you, man, you guys were definitely on the ball. You guys were doing great. And I know with when Tyquan Underwood made that catch and then he got a personal foul, I'm thinking now there's even a bigger chance because I know something is going to happen. And I'm actually at work, and I'm actually on my break watching the game. And everybody's saying, oh, I don't think this is going to happen. The stick of fork in him is gone. I'm like, guys, trust, believe, accountability. That's what Greg Schiano says. I'm starting to believe in it. And as soon as I see you guys start driving all the way down into Carolina territory and then Vincent Jackson making that catch, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, we have a chance. And then the next one, Vincent Jackson, another catch for the two-point conversion. Unbelievable. I mean, that drive was just unbelievable. I mean, less than a minute, you got to go 80 yards for a touchdown. I'm telling you, man, that was just unbelievable on how you did that, man. That was just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I think he says unbelievable a few times because it was unbelievable to him. Mike, thanks. One question that comes up all the time, how often do you all practice two-minute drill, 1 minute left, no timeouts, during a week, a given week? How many times will you go through that?
Every day of practice. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, three times a week, every single day. Actually, four because we walk through it on Saturdays. So four times a week we have practiced that situation, and it came up in the game.
And you will run a lot of the same plays that we're seeing maybe. Maybe there'll be some different ones, but you're practicing killing the clock. That's practiced, right?
Yeah, that's practiced.
Get up, get like, because, I mean, there was a key moment there where you got a completion to Vincent Jackson, and the clock is rolling with about 25 seconds left or 20 seconds left, and you guys had to get up and get in position. And this is an important rule. If you guys don't line up right, even though the ball is being snapped and you kill the clock and there's a penalty, there is a 10-second runoff if you guys don't have a timeout left. So fans may go, what's the big deal about that? You got to practice it, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what comes up. We got to practice it.
And you guys were able to execute there in the clutch. All right, real quick, Pete in Tampa. You are next with Mike Williams. Hey, Pete.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call. You know, I've been a season ticket holder for over 20 years now. And I have never in my life seen a team quite like this. The way you guys could score from, I mean, we have a legitimate home run threat in every phase of position players on this team. I don't remember ever being able to say that. You know, I was laughing with a friend of mine today because I said, you know, of all the coaches that we wanted here in Tampa, I think Schiano has the coolness and the respectability for his players as Tony Dungy does, but the firepower and the aggressiveness of Gruden. So to me, we have two of the greatest coaches we've ever had here mixed into one guy. And that's saying a lot because, I mean, we were laughing because we said TBA must have stood for to be announced. And all of a sudden, because, you know, we had a new coach and we really didn't know what to expect. And you guys come out and you're playing like this and, anybody, I hope this goes out to everybody who's listening right now. Let's not wait till Thursday to find out if this is a blackout. Let's black out this game. I mean, let's sell out this game and just be there in full force. This team's definitely going to be something to be reckoned with for a very long time. God bless you, Mike. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving and stay safe, man.
You too, Pete.
All right. So, I mean, you can't say enough about the way you guys are playing. It's an exciting brand of football. This is, I believe, five consecutive games where you've scored at least 27 points. They have been exciting games. So, yeah, fans, go get your tickets. He mentioned Thanksgiving. And before I talk Falcons one more time, last year, for the audience that didn't hear it, you bragged about being able to make a turkey and being able to make a turkey in like an hour, which, you know, that set off a lot of controversy because a lot of people didn't believe Mike Williams. Now, are you going to come clean here? Do you really make a turkey for Thanksgiving?
Yes, made a turkey for Thanksgiving in about an hour and 10 minutes.
You're not serious with
that. I'm dead
serious. You understand.
I want people to Google it now. I'm like a trendsetter now. I want you to Google it. And
yeah, but I mean,
they're going to get a turkey. You're going to get a turkey in like 55 minutes. If you Google it, everybody Google how to make a turkey in 55 minutes.
And you actually do this.
And I actually did it.
All right. And you served it to people that actually ate it, including you.
Yep. My mom even ate it.
All right. So you're planning on doing this again
yep.
for Thursday? It's
yeah,
your
I'm gonna
responsibility?
I'm going to try to make it 55 minutes this time because that's actually the quote online, 55 minutes how to make a turkey. So, I'm going to try to do it in 55.
At what temperature? I mean, that
I'm not letting you guys got to look it up okay. and you figure out yourself, but I'm not giving up my secret. But
you know,
it'll be the best turkey
there's
you ever
more than
had.
One person that has said that the turkey in 55 minutes is going to the store and getting back in 55 minutes with the turkey. You're not saying that that's the case.
No.
You're actually cooking this turkey.
Cooking this turkey.
55 All right.
minutes.
Atlanta Falcons in our remaining moment or two here. Here we go. Sunday, as we've alluded to earlier in the show, you guys have won four in a row. They are 9-1. You know, back earlier in the year, again, this is for media and fans and whatever, but I mean, back earlier in the year, you guys were 1-3. You know, Atlanta went all the way to 8-0 before they lost a game. If the Buccaneers win this game Sunday, you're two games behind the Falcons. So, I mean, needless to say, there is huge implications Sunday. Yes?
Oh, yeah. It's a division game. It's a game that we need. It's going to be a tough part. You can arguably say they're the best team in the NFL coming in here. It's going to be something to see.
And, you know, the Atlanta rivalry, and it has become a bit of a rivalry over the last two or three years. I mean, you guys had some opportunities the last couple of years to pull off wins and couldn't quite do it. Then you got one early in the year last year. This is a rivalry with this team, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a rivalry with the whole division, I would say. But most, well, especially with this team, how the trash talking goes back and forth, how they players talk about ours. But it's a rivalry.
Yeah, and that's part of what makes football fun. So, I mean, is there going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of back and forth, you think, Sunday? Or is it going to be business? Or you don't know?
I think it's going to be business for both teams, but I think in between we're going to get a lot of back and forth.
Was there a lot of back and forth yesterday with the Panthers?
Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth.
As you guys were driving late and in the overtime, did the Carolina back and forth stop?
Yeah.
I figured.
Yeah, but it stopped. Them last two drives, you didn't hear no back and forth.
Funny how that works. Listen, good luck. We appreciate you sitting down with us here tonight. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to
you.
And
we will see you on Sunday for the Bucks and the Falcons. Thank you, Mike. And that'll do it for tonight. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping out back at the station. Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. And for all of you, for bearing with me, I'll do my best to be back at 100% tomorrow night for Total Access. We get ready for the Bucks and the Falcons Sunday at 1. Look forward to it on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.